You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week one of our sermon series, Missing Peace. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
I am not entirely sure that my kids, I got three of them, I'm not entirely sure that they always know what they want or what they need for Christmas. See, the last couple of weeks, my mom, she lives down in Chicago, she's been asking for Christmas lists for my kids. And my middle son, Ollie, he made a list that included goalie gloves because in his last soccer game of the season, he played goalie and he made some nice saves. And so now he needs goalie gloves. And he also listed hockey gear. It's cool, very cool stuff, but in my estimation, neither makes a lot of sense, you know, as well as a couple other things on the list. Here's why. He already decided and told us that he wants to play flag football next season, not soccer, and he doesn't play hockey. He doesn't really even skate. He does have a pair of ice skates, but I think he has skated, honestly, like one time in his life. And so my mom texted me the other day, and she was like, hey, could you give me some suggestions on hockey gear for Ollie? And I started to suggest like a few other things that I thought that he would like. And then my mom like texted me a picture of Ollie's handwritten Christmas list. In response to my suggestion, she's like, well, this is the stuff that he asked for. And I'm like, well, I know that. We sent you that list. I saw the list. But in my mind, like none of that stuff made sense to me, totally. And so I was trying to suggest a few other options that I felt were a little bit better. Still fun, still exciting, but in my mind, just more useful and more practical and actually of need. Now, maybe I should not have intervened. Maybe that was, like dad fail. I don't know. But I wasn't really sure as I looked at the list, I wasn't really sure that he actually knew what he wanted or what he really needed. In Mid-Current Church, I'm not always sure that we do either. Okay, as we grow older, our Christmas lists they're no longer, filled with toys and games and, goalie gloves and things like that. But I would suggest that they are filled, our Christmas list, the things we want and hope for and wish for. I would suggest they're filled with a bunch of things that we may not really need. I would suggest that they're maybe filled with a whole bunch of things that just can't provide the one thing that we really need, the one thing that we really want and maybe didn't even totally know we wanted it. What is it? It's peace. See, here's what I know to be true about you and me. Or at least me, I'll speak for myself, but I suspect the same is true for you. Here's what I know to be true. We look for peace in a lot of different directions. And we look for peace in a lot of different things. And while we may not acknowledge or actually articulate that it's peace that we are after, I think we reach toward those things, believing that if we got a hold of them, and if we could just wrap our hands around it, if we got that next thing, or if we got the bigger thing or the better thing, or if we could finally fill in the blank, right, then everything would be okay. Right? We might describe it as something else, but deep down inside, I think we are all looking for and longing for satisfaction in our life and in our heart and in our soul. We're looking for peace, like real peace, peace that very few people around us experience, peace that the world around us may not even understand. Okay, that's what we want to help you discover over the next month here at Mid-Current as we begin a brand new message series called Missing Peace. See, this month is billed, right, in the songs and in the stores and on the signs everywhere, right? This month is billed as the most wonderful time of the year. We're promised much mistletoeing and that hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. And it sounds very wonderful, yes, but unfortunately, and maybe you are experiencing this right now, unfortunately, it's not always the reality. right? Far too many people are feeling a little bit off this last month of the year, or maybe feeling a little off this last decade. And yet we believe that this really can be a wonderful time of the year. And we really believe that this that we can live a wonderful life, you and I, despite any of the less than ideal circumstances around us. And so for the next 4 weeks, we decided, hey, we want to design a series. The next 4 weeks have been designed to help us and to help you find the missing piece. Whether we realize it or not, I think it is what we are after. It's why Christmas is so enticing when it rolls around every 12 months. Because here's what we know, right? Here's what we love to read and sing. Here's what the angels announced when they announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds in the field. Here's what they announced. Glory to God in the highest, and what? Peace on earth. Peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. I think deep down we go, yes, right? This is what I've been waiting for. Peace on earth, right? I think it's what we hope Christmas would provide for us. Somehow fill up our tanks in a way that lasts. And yet, if we're honest, I think it's oftentimes the opposite of what most of us experience. It's what we long for, but I think too many times it's the opposite of what we experience. See, I think too many people today, they have money in the bank, but no peace in their heart. I think too many people today are successful on the outside, but empty on the inside. Too many families have the most perfect picture of their family for their Christmas card, and yet life as a family is far from picture perfect. Too many people today are lonely and scared and anxious and isolated. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, the question I'm asking you, maybe the question you're wondering today is this: is peace even possible today? Is it even possible? Right, when there's still war in Ukraine and there's conflict raging between Israel and Palestine and everyone's arguing about who's right and who's wrong. When there's still lingering tension from COVID and its impact on our world and our relationships, when there's ugly division in our country and in our own communities over politics and policies and candidates, when there's drama in our own families and in our own marriages and in our own friendships, and there doesn't appear to be an end in sight, when the hallways at school are getting meaner and meaner and meaner, and depression and anxiety are on the rise, and when loneliness is setting in at just incredible rates, and it's maybe only getting worse this time of year. Is peace even possible? This might be the very question that you are asking yourself today. And if it is, then I've got some good news for you. I really do believe, we do believe that peace is possible for you today, right? We really do believe that you can find peace and that you can be at peace no matter what you might be experiencing today, no matter what circumstances might be closing in on you. Peace really is possible. Here's the deal, friends. We just need to know what it is and what it isn't. It is possible for you, for me, for us. We just need to know what it is and what it isn't. And I'd like to try to help do that for you, figure that out along with you today. And let me start by turning then your attention to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet among God's people in the days long before Jesus walked this earth. And if the name Isaiah sounds familiar at this time of year, you're going, wait a second, I think I've heard that before. It's probably because Isaiah's, it's his writings that we often read at Christmas time, right? He's the one that predicted that a child would be born unto us and that he would be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, and a prince of peace. That's Isaiah. That was Isaiah chapter 9, just to give you some context in case that name sounds familiar. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 26 to see what Isaiah writes there. Before we read it, let me just give you some quick context. God's people are in the midst of a season not all that unlike what we might be experiencing today. There's fear and there's unsettledness happening among the people. In the midst of it all, Isaiah predicts, he was a prophet, he predicts of a day when there will be nothing but worship and passion and praise for the goodness of God. And here's what he writes. He says, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter in. Then listen to this. This is what I want you to hear today. Isaiah writes about God. He says, verse 3, and you will keep in what? In perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace. Peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You'll keep in perfect peace. I like that. I want perfect peace in my life. And I suspect that you do too. The question is, How do we experience that peace if it really is available to us? Perfect peace. How do we get our hands on it? Let's break it down a little bit here. The verse you see on the screen. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And there's actually no Hebrew word, at least in the text here, there's no Hebrew equivalent for the word perfect here. Instead, shalom is repeated twice. It's God saying he will keep us in shalom, shalom. And in Hebrew, you would only repeat a word like this, which is kind of silly, right? You would only repeat a word if you wanted to emphasize its meaning. And so the best way to emphasize the kind of peace that Isaiah is speaking about is to repeat himself, shalom, shalom. And the best way to translate that for us is to call it perfect peace, meaning that you will experience a wholeness that is lacking nothing, a completeness that is not left wanting or longing or needing in the least bit. There will be no emptiness inside of you. And that kind of peace, okay, double peace, right? This extra dose of peace, the supersized peace, the perfect peace, according to Isaiah, it's available to us, to you, to me. It is available, but for a certain kind of person. Okay, not the person who has the best job or, you know, the largest income or the most impressive title or corner office. Not the person who, you know, got the best grades in school. Not the person that went to Bible school. Not the person who memorized the most Bible verses or attended the most Bible studies in their life or who never missed a Sunday morning at church. Not the person who is the most generous and who's given the most money away or helped the most old ladies cross the street, and it's not the person whose family shows up to church looking like life is perfect. No, Isaiah says that God will keep in perfect peace, in shalom, shalom, all who trust in him and whose thoughts, remember this, and whose thoughts are fixed on him. If we keep looking at the original Hebrew in this verse, we'll see that the Hebrew word for fixed is the word samak. And it means like to put or to lay, or most of all, to lean upon. And so what this is telling us is that God will keep in shalom, shalom, in perfect peace, those who what? Those who lean upon him. Those who find their strength and their help and their comfort and their guidance and their wisdom and their confidence, those who get it all from Him. And so Midcurrent, if this isn't the most wonderful time of the year, if this hasn't been the most wonderful year in your life, or if there is some part of your life that feels far more stressful than it does wonderful, here's what I want you to know about peace. That peace is not found in the disappearance of our problems, but in our dependence on God. Perfect peace will be found for those who samach, those who lean upon Him. Peace is not found in the disappearance of everything that could go wrong, but it is found in our dependence on God in the midst of it all. Jesus Himself, He warned us that in this world, He said, you will have trouble. Okay, He wasn't even trying to hide it. He didn't, He didn't even put it in the fine print of our agreement to follow Him. He's up front about the whole deal. It might be hard. It's gonna be a little bumpy, right? And so if peace, perfect peace, if it was dependent on the absence of conflict or on the disappearance of anything that could go wrong or anything that would be hard, then we would never be able to experience peace in our life. Because Jesus told us, buckle up, gang. But the good news is that peace is not the result of problems disappearing. It is the result, however, of you and I depending on God and leaning upon God in the midst of any problem that might come our way. And so when life is overwhelming, which maybe it is for you right now, when life, throws us a curveball, and maybe some of you are going, man, I've seen a few of those, or when we've struck out with all the things that we thought matter, when it doesn't feel like the most wonderful time of the year, whether it's December or it's July, here's what I want us to do. Here's the kind of people I want us to be. Let's focus on the size of our God, not on the size of our problems. If perfect peace comes from leaning on God, then when life feels a little crazy, let's focus on the size of our God and not the size of our problems. See, our over-obsession with problems, this is what we do. We got a problem. That's all we can see and all we can think about. Our over-obsession with the problems in life, with the things that don't go away, it never gets us very far. It won't... our over-obsession with what's going wrong, it won't solve our problems and it won't make them go away. So instead, right, we focus on the size of our God and we lean on Him. We fix our minds on Him. And when we do, when we trust God, when we trust His word and His will and His way and His truth and His promise, He will keep us in perfect peace. See, too many times we fall for the trick. Too many times we fall for the trick that says peace in our life, it depends on how we can, navigate and negotiate and manipulate life out here. Too many times we fall for the trick that says peace depends on how many of our problems we can eliminate. So we go, once I get that raise, or once I get that right job, once we eliminate all the debt, well, then we could be at peace, right? Once we get the right candidate in office, then all will be good. Once the school board is full of all the right kind of people, well, then we'll have nothing to worry about, right? Once I could finally take that vacation, or once I, get married, or once we have kids, or once we get that house, or once I graduate, or once I get accepted to that school, well, then surely all will be good. Okay, and let me just make it very clear. I'm not saying that you can't wish for any of those things. Those things are fine. None of those things are bad. Okay, Eric and I worked our tails off early in our marriage to get debt free. I care a great deal about candidates that are elected to office in our country and in our communities. I love and I wait for the opportunity to go on vacation. And outside of following Jesus, like getting married and starting a family with Erica is the best decision I ever made. Okay, I'm not saying that stuff doesn't matter. I'm not saying we can't care about that stuff. We can and we should. But here's what I have come to realize. I've come to realize that checking those boxes won't bring me perfect peace. And let's just be honest, folks. We know that's not how it works. We've experienced it. We know that even when the stars align, we know that even when everything works out the way we want it to, we know that it doesn't always do the trick. We know that there's still something that always feels like it's missing. I can't help, when I think along these lines, I can't help but think about the old interview with Tom Brady years ago, legendary quarterback, right? I know, I think I've showed this interview before, maybe you've seen it, but during his legendary career with the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, he's gonna go down as like one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's asked in this interview about all the wins, all the Super Bowl trophies, right? All the fame. He's asked about all the money he's made and all the endorsements and all the fame and all the popularity. He's asked about this carefree life that he lives. And to this day, I can just see him in the interview. He says, in response to it all, he says, sometimes I wonder, is this it? He goes, he asks the interviewer, he's going, sometimes I think to myself, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to all of this. Right? The dude has everything going for him. He's on top of the world, seemingly has the ability to eliminate any problem that he could ever experience in his life. And yet he doesn't seem to have found the rest, that's the satisfaction that he's looking for. Folks, perfect peace in our life, right? Ultimate satisfaction in our soul. It has nothing to do, I'm not saying we can't hope for it. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with a carefree life or the disappearance of our problems. It has everything to do with our dependence on God in the midst of them. It has everything to do with our dependence on God for all things at all times. There's a great story in the New Testament book of John, chapter 6, that I think highlights this very well. It's a story about Jesus' disciples, and they're in a boat out at sea. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee, traveling toward the city of Capernaum on the other side. And they're only a few miles into the paddle. And out of nowhere, a huge storm blows in, and they were afraid. And soon, in the midst of it, they look out kind of on the horizon, and they see Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus approaches, and he says to them, "Do not be afraid. I am here." And here's what it says next in verse 21. It says that this is the disciples, they were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Eager. They're afraid. They see Jesus. They're eager to get him into the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Now, there's stories, similar stories in the New Testament, specifically in the books we call the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's similar stories in these books about the disciples, about Jesus out at sea when a storm rolls on. In one instance, Jesus is asleep in the boat, and the waves come crashing in, and the disciples start freaking out. They're going like, this is it. We're done for, right? And they wake Jesus up in a panic. And the scriptures say that Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, saying, "Peace, be still." and the storm ceased. Okay, now those are a powerful story, and we could sit there for a second. There's some great maybe lessons we could learn regarding Jesus' ability to calm the storms in their life. But I like this story in John a little bit better because I think it paints a more accurate picture of the kind of peace that Jesus offers to us. Okay, if you read the whole story, which I just summarized and read a verse, but if you read the whole story, you'll notice that it doesn't say that Jesus calmed the storm. It doesn't say that Jesus, you know, rebuked the wind and the waves. It doesn't say that Jesus snapped his fingers and the problem went away. All it says there's a storm. They are afraid. Here come Jesus. All it says is they wanted Jesus to be in the boat with them. And as soon as he was with them, they got where they wanted to be. Folks, peace in the storm. It does not depend on the disappearance of our problems, but on our dependence on God right in the middle of them. The problems may not go away, but we can still get to where we wanted to be. We can still find what it is our hearts are looking for. Perfect peace is still possible for the mind that leans upon God. Philippians chapter 4 is a letter written to Jesus' followers in the city of Philippi. One of the greatest church leaders ever is the one that penned this letter. And here's what he encourages of us. Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7 says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Friends, God's peace is beyond. It far exceeds anything that we can understand or that the world around us could even comprehend. And it is available to us. So what do, right? We don't worry, we pray. We don't wonder where God is, we tell him what we need. We don't lean on our own understanding, we lean upon him. And he will make our paths straight and he will give us peace. We fix our mind on him. Mid-Current, can I ask you as we bring this to a close, can I ask you, what is your mind fixed on this Christmas? What is your mind fixed on? What has it been fixed on this year? Your problems or your God? On everything that has gone wrong or everything that God has made right? Fixed on, you know, where you fell short or how God met you in the gap, on what you don't have or on how gracious God has been to you. Focus not on the size of our problems, but on the size of our God. And so here's the deal. If you're lost, we got to understand God will be your guide. If you're weak, God will be your strength. If you're hurting, God will be your comfort. If your way is currently dark, the light of the world will show you the way. So fix your mind on him. Fix your thoughts on him and on what is true and honorable and what is right and what is pure and what is lovely and what is admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise and keep putting them into practice. Anything and everything that you've learned about God. And then the God of peace will be with you. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for this time of year. It's not just decorations and fun music that we celebrate, God. We celebrate the amazing gift that you gave to us. That because you loved us so much, God, you sent your one only son from heaven to earth to be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God, we give you thanks for that demonstration of your love for us. That you sent Jesus to be with us, God, not just in the good times, but you sent him to be right alongside us, God, for whatever it is that came our way. And so, God, I'm just asking that you would help us in the midst of life, in the midst of ups and downs, God, in the midst of dark times and storms, would you help us to be people that focus not on the size of our problems, but on you, God? Would you help us to understand that the peace, the rest, the contentment, the satisfaction we want in life doesn't come as a result of, you know, us just mowing down any discomfort or any obstacle that stands in front of us? God, would you help us to know that peace and calm and rest and satisfaction in life comes when we trust you and when we lean upon you in all that we do? God, help us to be people that daily lean upon you. And God, as we do, I'm praying that we would find the rest that our hearts desire. God, we thank you so much for Jesus, the one you sent from heaven to earth for us. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.